Hey, Sam.
Hey, bitch.
What you doing?
I'm just amazed that it's the 40th episode. Like, 40th official episode. Not counting bonus, of course, but 40th official episode.
Holy shit. Who let us have 40 episodes?
Are you waiting for somebody to respond?
The fuck, people.
What is wrong with you?
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
That was cringe.
That was. It's fine, though. It's who we are. Just ask our children.
Facts. What is this podcast called that has 40 episodes?
M-Cubed.
Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem.
Motherfucker.
We just recorded yesterday.
So there's really nothing new?
No updates that I know of.
I did start going through the Milk Carton Chronicles that we've posted on Instagram, and there's really no updates on those either. Mm-mm. I'm still amazed that there's only one article about Tajay Baker being found.
Yes. I did see where Daryl Brooks is getting sentenced. His sentence hearing is 11/15/2022. So, next week.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. He tried to... So, I don't know if y'all watch the hearings or not, or the trial or whatever. But whenever the jury came out, when they were walking out to deliver the verdict, Daryl Brooks was like, hey, since this is pretty much over, can you remove these shocking ankle cuffs or whatever? He was trying to let the jury know that he had ankle cuffs on him that would shock him. Like, it was inhumane. And so, before they scheduled this sentence hearing, they had to meet about it. And the judge actually had one of the officers come up and just reiterate that the cuffs on his legs were not electric.
They should be, to be honest. Like, yeah. Let's face it. He deserves it.
Yeah, he was trying to get... He was just trying to, you know, fuck with them again, pretty much. Try and get that mistrial. But...
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was another one.
He's a special son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, he brought up all the shit that he brought up during trial as well. He was just grasping at straws.
So why can't we put electric shock ankle bits on people? Like that? I understand it shouldn't be, like, a standard...
It's inhumane, Sam.
I mean, he doesn't give a fuck that he killed and hurt a shit ton of people.
I know.
I feel like it's justified. It's not. I mean, it's not. I don't like disagree. We're putting him in an electric chair at that moment. It's just like.
I don't disagree.
You try to move, shock his ass.
I don't disagree.
He tried to pull a fucking Ted Bundy, shock his ass.
Sam, you know more legalities than I do.
Listen, I get it, but it irritates the shit out of me that we have to be like, oh, I'm so sorry you feel that you have been wronged when he fucking murdered people.
What is it? Innocent until proven guilty? He was not guilty at that moment.
Fucking there and he fucking did it.
I know, Sam, but he hadn't been proved guilty yet.
Like I said, shouldn't be a standard, but for this son of a bitch, it should be standard. Like, I just...
Normally, we're opposite on this. Normally, it's the other way around. What's going on today, Sam?
I don't know.
You were normally the legal one. Off for their heads.
I mean, no, let's not do that. Let's give them what they gave.
Okay.
Tenfold.
Okay. I mean, that's not even.
Don't immediately kill them. Torture them first.
You're feisty today.
A little bit.
I guess you're feeling better.
Yeah, I am.
That's good. That's good.
No, people like that just piss me off to my way.
Oh, yeah, no, he's
understand.
A complete narcissist asshole. And he was so upset that he could not control that trial. So upset.
Which shows that he should never get out.
Yes.
Never.
Never.
Speaking of getting out,
Oh my God, Shelley Notek, Michelle Notek is out.
And let me tell you, listen, I didn't know anything about this case prior to, like, I don't know, two months ago, something like that. But she was released on the 8th of this month, mm-hmm. which is November, I think this will be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know when this is going to be fucking released. But she was released on November 8th, and we got the notification that she was released. And then I started reading the fucking book about her. And I'm only, I don't know, a third of the way in. And I'm telling you right now, she shouldn't have never been released.
No. No. I read that same book a year or so ago, and I could not believe that at the time they were just talking about releasing her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, seriously, you better not fucking release her. She does not deserve to be released. She still says that she didn't do anything. And right now Sam is writing up notes, and we are going to do an episode on her.
And it's going to be a both of us talking about it. It's not just going to be one of us doing all of it.
It angers me so much what she put all these people through. Which I'm not going to go into it because Sam's still reading about it. She is a monster.
She is. And again, I'm only a third of the way in the book. And I'm in 7 pages in. So it's going to be a multi-parter of how terrible this woman is. And why she shouldn't have been released.
Yeah, 7 pages of notes is what she's talking about. She has 7 pages of notes in already. And she's only a third in the book. It is literally ridiculous. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Michelle Notek. She's still in denial. And she is out in Washington right now. So just be aware. Be safe. Stay away from her.
And don't believe the fucking thing she says.
No.
There is no reason to believe anything she says because everything that comes out of her mouth is going to be a lie.
She is a master manipulator. So just be careful. More on her later.
Yeah, like at least a two-parter.
Yeah, at least.
Probably more though because, again, only a third of the way in on my 7 pages on my notes. Back to the deep dives, baby.
Yeah, that's going to be rough. Besides that, I don't think we have any more updates. Mm-mm.
No, we have been asked a couple of times about the Delphi murders and the newest suspect that was arrested. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we're probably not going to touch that until much, much later, if we even do, because it does involve children.
Yes.
And even if we were going to, we're going to wait till everything is said and done in the trials and things like that, because I wouldn't want to jump the gun and start something without having all the facts.
Right.
And then something in the trial fuck up.
Yeah.
So there's that. But, you know, that's my explanation of why we haven't talked about that. But I'm glad somebody has, they've been able to find him. Mm-hmm. And he is now locked up. And I think they're moving him to another prison or jail because of threats.
So, Sam.
Yeah.
What you got for us today?
So, I think I know why I'm all fiery. Because you know how pissed off I was about the Katrina Mowry case?
Yes.
That was episode 20, by the way. You should go listen to that, and you should absolutely go to the change.org
page. And yeah. Sign the petition, please, yes. Because we want to get that case reopened, reinvestigated. And hopefully closure for Katrina and her niece, Katrina.
Yes. So, like, that entire fucking thing pisses me off to no end. But I happen to find a case that's just fucking like it. But before we go into that... Sorry, didn't
mind. She is very wound up today, guys.
I am. I'm sorry.
You're gonna have to bear with us.
So... yeah. Well, the last episode, I talked about going to the Charlie Project when I kind of needed some refresher of, like, oh, what case to go to. And typically, it's not the first one that I click on and end up researching a little bit and then end up on something completely different. But I was sticking in Rhode Island. And so I found a man named Frankie Robert Mazzella. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that's how you say his name. He... was reported, so, sorry, this is the Milk Carton Chronicle portion of the episode. Mm-hmm. And it's Milk Carton Chronicle because I couldn't make an entire episode about it. I only have a paragraph. I tried finding more information about him, but there was nothing. So, Frankie Robert Mazzella, he was reported missing on February 7th, 1999 in Westerly, Rhode Island. He was a white 39-year-old man. He was described as 5'10 to 5'11, and he weighed about 170 pounds at the time that he disappeared. He was last seen in a dark-colored shirt, black jeans, and dark-colored shoes. He had black hair and brown eyes. And apparently some agencies spelled his name with one less Z than they should have. Don't know why that would be, but apparently it happened. Also, he may have had a mustache as like a distinguished feature there, and a scar on his elbow. He would be 63 years old now, and the Charlie Projects, details of disappearance said this. Frank's family members last saw him at his apartment in the 100 block of Oak Street in Westerly, Rhode Island, at approximately 9 a.m. on February 7th, 1999. He has never been heard from again. All of Mazzella's personal belongings were located inside his residence, and his vehicle was parked outside his apartment. There were no other signs of him at the scene. There was nothing. Not a sign, any signs of struggle or any indication of where he would have gone. So they literally have nothing. So, no, the only source of information that they had listed was from Nameless, which is a site similar to the Charlie Project. It just doesn't have all the extra details.
Okay.
So it'll have their picture and then basic description and very brief summary of where they were last seen. So like the typical flyers. If you happen to know anything about Frank's disappearance or whereabouts, please call the Westerly Police Department at 401-596-2022. And as it said earlier, I looked as much as I could for any information on his case, and I could not find anything. No news articles, nothing. But I did happen to find a news article that connected or was talking about Rhode Island's cold cases, which led me to my next case, the main story. And like I said, it reminds me so much of Katrina Mowry, but it's like the opposite, because they're actually going to test and do things that they need to do even 30 years later.
Okay, so they're still actively looking at the case.
Yes.
Good. That's good. I like that you started out that way.
But before they get to that point, it's exceedingly infuriating, and there's obvious signs that something happened to this woman that was not her doing. Mm-hmm. But there's also a change.org site for that, but because they have already gotten the attention of the Rhode Island Senate, the ME, the DA, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of shut down now. But they've worked with so many different agencies to try to build a case to make this happen.
I wish that they would do the same for Katrina Mowry.
I wish they would too. This has a happier ending as far as what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still 30 years.
Yeah.
And you'll understand the frustration. So the woman that we were going to talk about today is Lori Lee Malloy. Her nickname was Sled Dog, by the way, and I'll get to that in a little bit. I think that's what drew me to her name, by the way, because the nickname, I was like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. nearly 30 years ago, Lori's death was ruled as natural causes. Her daughter, Lauren Malloy, was only 18 months at the time of her mother's death. She has been fighting for, I want to say, the last 4 or 5 years to get it reopened. And because she started her own investigation, she started looking at the police reports and things like that. And she knows there's something more. On March 7th, 1992, there was a welfare check requested by her boyfriend, though it seems at the time that their relationship was not the greatest. I was listening to another podcast that was covering this because they had Lauren on, and it's called Catch My Killer podcast. She explained that this boyfriend had called Lori's mother and other family members and was like, we had a fight about her cocaine use, and she's not talking to me now, and I need to make sure she's okay. But the family members didn't move, like, that moment when he talked to them, so he ended up calling in the welfare check, and it was weird. I got a real weird vibe about it, but that's a whole other thing. So he tells the officers that he had been able to get in, but something spooked him and he left. So the door was unlocked. So to say that he couldn't contact her is inaccurate, I feel. That's suspicious.
Yeah.
When the officers arrived, or one officer, because it's welfare check, it was probably just one officer, he met with this boyfriend and with the landlords who would have let them in if the door was not unlocked. But the door was already unlocked, so they walked in, and the officer describes this, and I'm reading directly from, or paraphrasing in directly, it depends. But he heard the sound of running water, and it appeared to be coming from the bathroom, so he walked toward the bathroom. And he said, as we go there, we could see a person's head laying on the floor of the bathroom. There they found Lori's naked and in quotes, obviously expired body. The officer went on to describe the scene that he found, and he said, some of the suspicious conditions that they found were the fact that the door was apparently left open. There were small tufts of the victim's hair found all around the apartment. She was found nude on the bathroom floor, with slices of bread all around her.
What?
Mm-hmm. Slices of bread. The victim herself had pieces of hair wrapped around her left hand and around 1 foot. The refrigerator in the kitchen was found to be unplugged, and there was still food inside. There were 2 empty glasses found on the table and a small tub of some sort of fruit salad. Also, the faucet in the bathroom was running freely. At this time until... This is legit quote. At this time until the investigation should perhaps prove otherwise, the detective division is investigating this matter as a homicide. Obviously, right? So I'm going to add a little bit to this description because there was more of an investigation, but they went off the medical examiner's findings as far as how they closed the case.
Mm-hmm.
So to add to the weird, suspicious things, there were bruises on her thighs. The strands of hair around her wrist weren't just, like, laying on her wrist. They were, like, wrapped around her wrist and her fingers. Almost like a woven bracelet. Not, like, completely woven, but, like, strands of hair just wrapped around her hand.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But, like, why?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Some of the hair that was found around the apartment appeared to have been ripped out. Like clumps of hair, not mm-hmm. just a couple of strands here and there. Like, because mm-hmm. I shed like a motherfucker. So, if somebody came in here, they'd be like, damn, Sam's hair everywhere. No, this was.
Scalp was attached to it.
Yes. Not normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this adds to definite homicide, right? Just 3 weeks after her death, her divorce from John, his nickname was Scary Harry. Mariano?
His nickname was Scary Harry, uh-huh. and she was found with hair clumps
uh-huh.
and hair wrapped around her wrist and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
3 weeks, just 3 weeks before her divorce was finalized, she was found this way. And I wouldn't have just, like, thrown his name out there without doing a little bit of research, right? Because I don't want to be like, oh, he definitely did it, because I'm not that person most of the time. Okay. Except for in the earlier conversation about Douchemaker. But listen, there was a letter that John wrote to Lori after he was arrested for violating an order of protection that was in place after assaulting her. This was in 1988. He told her that she could testify against him and see him in 2 years or ask the state of Rhode Island to drop the charges and see him in 6 months. In 1990... he assaulted her again and was arrested for another violation of a protection order. I think that they should have, you know, investigated a little bit more into this man
who oh, they didn't?
Seems to. Well, like I said, they were going based on the recommendations of the NME, and I'm going to get there eventually. Actually, right now. I'm gonna go back to that bread bit. There was no bread found in her stomach. So it wasn't like she was eating bread or something. And that would be why it would be somewhere near her. Not that I could understand why there would be bread in the bathroom anyway.
Because she probably either grabbed it to defend herself. Because, I mean, shit, when you're trying to defend yourself, you just grab whatever's near.
The first thing that's yes. close, yeah.
Or he threw the shit at her.
Yeah. But that's... I just wanted to add that, because there was no bread in her stomach. There was no reason for that to be there other than probably some type of defensive thing.
That's what I think.
But on August 11th, 1993, Lori's death was ruled as a natural causes by Dr. F. John Krolikowski, maybe?
Good job. No, I'm very confident in the way that you said that.
I sounded confident. Mm-hmm. I am not. he determined her death was due to hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
And what does that mean?
So I googled it. and Google says that this is a condition in which the heart muscles become abnormally thick, which makes it very hard for the heart to keep pumping blood, which I think is probably, could technically be caused by some substance abuse.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I could be. Probably am, but
yeah. So is that kind of like a heart attack or no?
I would, similar at least, because it does involve the heart not being able to work.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I understand.
But the thing is, her toxicology report was clean.
But if that happened, it could have been because of years of substance abuse throughout.
Yeah, but there's no proof that that was the case. The only time somebody mentioned cocaine use was the boyfriend who called in and said that, which is not the
husband,
scary hairy guy, by the way.
Right.
He's the only one that mentioned anything about cocaine use. Her drug screen was clean. I don't know. So in December of 1993, the East Province Police Department closed their case as natural causes for her death.
So they didn't, like, in the medical examiner report or anything like that, it didn't say, like, blunt force trauma or anything like that?
Mm-mm.
Just the just the possible heart attack, I don't know.
Yeah.
Cardiac myopathy.
Monopoly.
I am not a doctor, guys. This is why I work in finance.
Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Myopathy. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It did mention that she had bruises on her legs, but I was like, no, this isn't. It's just her heart failed because of her cocaine use that wasn't there.
That's strange.
So everything goes silent. Her daughter, at this point, is still very, very young. But in 1999, Dr. Krolikowski, he was under the investigation by the state of Massachusetts. State of Massachusetts. For his, and I quote, role in misdiagnosing dozens of cases at Sturdy Memorial.
Seriously.
Yes.
Damn you, Kawasaki.
Always watching. Okay, but see, while he was hired to do the autopsies and thing like that, officially hired for this period of time,
mm-hmm.
they went back and reviewed dozens of cases.
And they were all wrong?
I don't know if they were all wrong, but there was a lot that was incorrect.
Where'd he get his degree from?
Hold on. But the problem is, he was not officially tenured at the time that Lori's death occurred. But he was working there on like a part-time basis or something like that. He wasn't officially the ME for that place. So they didn't go back and review those, which is really stupid. Because this came up, her daughter was like, I wonder if that's what happened with my mom, because she had heard bits and pieces. And so she started doing her own investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2002, he was sanctioned for the incorrect analysis of multiple cases and was banned from continuing his practice in surgical
pathology in the state. So once Lauren decided to dig into it a little bit, she's like, this doesn't make sense. In this year, I don't know what time, when, I guess in January, February, something like that, Lauren reached out to a pathologist, and I, out of respect for him, I'm not going to try to say his name, but he has a great reputation, apparently. And in March of 2022, this doctor sent this recommendation, and I'm quoting from the email that he sent her. After reviewing the provided files, my opinions are the following. 1. The case and manner of death are unknown and or unclear after almost 30 years. 2. The listed cause of death, hypertrophic cause of death, was not supported by the description in the autopsy report.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. 3. The underlying reasons of Lori's congested lungs did not have a reasonable explanation as of now. If possible, the availability of any residual tissues / or slides should be reviewed to establish a cause of death from a perspective of forensic pathology. 5. The circumstances of Lori's death should be investigated and or reinvestigated by police. In brief, the investigation is needed and the originally listed cause of death is unlikely to be correct. So Lauren took this and was like, I have somebody with more knowledge than me saying this is what needs to happen. So she went to the police department to have it reopened. That was a no-go. She tried the DA. She just kept getting the runaround. So she started a petition on the change.org website. And from what we understand from the change.org website, it really just brings awareness, but it doesn't force anyone to actually act.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have thousands upon thousands of signatures on these petitions, but unless the state or one of the higher-up senators or whatever wants something to change, it's not likely to happen.
Right.
But I should never stop you from doing that if it means that more people are going to gain the knowledge from one of these cold cases that were horribly mismanaged. So... sorry, I just went on a little tangent there. I lost my place. So unlike Katrina Mowry's case, like I said earlier, in August of 2020, the state of Rhode Island's medical examiner had come to the conclusion that Lori did not die of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. In fact, she had no obvious natural or unnatural reasons to die. Based on his observation, the senior ME handling Lori's modern case review believed she needed to be exhumed and her investigation completely redone. On October 12th, 2022, Lauren was contacted by a staff member of the Rhode Island Department of Health, and this is sort of how that conversation went, according to her. She said, Dr. Cherkov approved the AG's, the Attorney General's, motion to be filed today. I asked for their estimate for turnaround, and their answer was pretty vague, but they did say they will let us know when they are planning, as we have to be there. So it is taking forever for them to exhume her and to begin the reinvestigation, but it is in the works.
So we'll have updates for you.
Yes, hopefully sooner rather than later. From a news source that I got a lot of this information from, it was called Go Local Prov. They spoke with Lauren. And this was printed. It's been over 2 years since the fight for my mom began. I've had more doors shut on me than I can count, from homicide detectives to state prosecutors, senatorial staff members, congressmen, and more. But here's the thing. I don't care about titles. I care about justice. I promised my mom I wouldn't back down. I stood beside her grave and I told her that no matter how dark things got, she would get her day. That day is almost here. She went on and said, I am incredibly grateful to the East Providence Police Department, AG and Emmy's office for taking a second look and being willing to take a chance on modern science and methodologies. Beyond them, I am forever thankful to my mom's core case team members from Unsolved RI, Uncovered, Cold Case Digital Advocacy, the Cold Case Investigative Research Institution, and the Licensed Private Detective Agency of Rhode Island for for lessons learned from friends and fellow advocates at DNA Solves, to the many true crime podcasters who stepped up to help raise awareness, both nationally and internationally, and to the thousands of individuals who signed the original Change.org petition to reopen my mom's case. Together we stand for justice for my mother, Lori Lee Malloy, and the many other cold case victims across and beyond our state. My mom's many loved ones and I eagerly await the court's decision and are ready for whatever comes next. So as of now, no exhumation has occurred, but there are plans. So it's just a matter of time of getting that rolling.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier that her nickname was Sled Dog. And so I wanted to see what that was about. And Lauren told the Go Local Prov this. The love of her life was a military veteran and a mechanic in Alaska working on trucks. So she hitched across the U.S. to be with him, and she lived out there for some time. He had a friend who did some Iditarod. She loved the dogs, and that's how she got the nickname. So the Iditarod thing is like sled dogs.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. After...
But they were racing.
After you got Google to say it, I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. So she just really enjoyed the sled dogs. And she even mentioned that she has a picture of her mother laying down on the floor with a dog. Mm-hmm. I think it was a husky, but just with the biggest smile on her face.
One of my favorite movies, not a Disney movie, but was Balto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved it. And the reason why I have two sled dogs.
I decided I wanted to learn more about Lauren because she was 18 months old when her mother passed, so where did she go? She went to live with her biological father for a while, but for some reason, and I'm not sure, it said by the time that she was 5, she was adopted and didn't see her biological father or her brothers, technically half-siblings, but brothers, while she was growing up. And then she got on one of the sites like Ancestry.com or something like that and found a match to her sibling. And so in 2017, they were able to meet up, and that just sounds terrifying to me. I don't know, because you don't know them. But apparently her brothers are quite a bit older than her, so they remember her being this rambunctious little girl, just mm-hmm. running around doing crazy things all the time. But she was able to meet with her 3 brothers, one of which she didn't even know about. And this boy, his name was Matthew, the one that she didn't know about, was only 5 days different in their birthday.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But she talked about how she was excited to get to know them more and to be the best aunt to her nieces and nephews.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So I thought I'd point that out.
I'm glad that it worked out for her. And hopefully we'll get updates, and we will let y'all know about the updates.
Yes, I will keep an eye on it and see and let you know as soon as I know something. That's what I got for you today. So it's slightly less frustrating, but also exceedingly frustrating, but also happy ending, I guess. Sort of.
Kind of. Bittersweet.
Bittersweet, yeah. I don't understand, though, like, how that happens. If the detectives have a feeling about a case, are they not able to fight the ME just a bit?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I never worked in law enforcement. I just worked for DCS, so whenever I didn't agree with an attorney, I did yell at them, like, you need to listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is what I have. Tell me how to make it work.
That's funny.
The state's attorney did not like me very much. But I was also one of the few that would not just be like, okay, yes sir, I'll do that. Fuck that. No, I want to keep my kids safe. Also, the other attorneys in town, in the town that I worked in, got the brunt of my frustration with not being able to do things sometimes. I remember arguing in the courthouse with like 3 different attorneys. This is what I have. These kids are not safe. Tell me what I can do to show you that. Like, what proof do you need? And they would be like, oh, we'll need drug screens and this and that and the other. And I'm like, okay. And then I pull out drug screens and I hand it to them. And they're like, oh, shit. Okay. I was an asshole.
A good kind of asshole, though.
Most days.
So, I found a bunch of random facts for you.
Yay.
Did you know that the Eiffel Tower can be 15 centimeters taller during the summer?
Because it swells from the heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
This is due to the thermal expansion, meaning the iron heats up and the particles gain kinetic energy and take up more space.
I know some things.
You do know some things. Good job. Did you know that Australia is whiter than the moon?
Whiter?
Whiter.
At first I thought you said whiter.
No.
Whiter.
Wider.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The moon sits at 3,400 kilometers in diameter, while Australia's diameter from east to west is almost 4,000 kilometers.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I love this one. The Spice Girls were originally called Touch.
Yep.
I did not know this.
Yep.
Also,
Ginger, whenever, you know how they have, like, their different costumes or whatever? Ginger thought it would be funny to wear the UK flag, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else wanted her to do that. They're like, no, you'll probably get backlash from that. And she's like, fuck you. And she just put it on anyways and went for it.
And now it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Now it's a thing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I love the Spice Girls.
The ancient Romans used to drop a piece of toast into their wine for good health. Hence, why we
toast.
Raise a toast.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Makes sense.
It does, but like, that also sounds real gross.
Toast or crouton?
It says toast. Piece of toast, so it probably is a crouton. But still, gross. Oh, Amy Poehler was only 7 years older than Rachel McAdams when she took on the role of Cool Mom in Mean Girls.
I like Mean Girls, too. It's a good movie.
Rachel was only 25 and Amy was 32.
Rachel McAdams was one of my favorite actors growing up. She
really?
Played in a lot of good movies. She was in, what's it called? Notebook. But for some reason it reminded me, Mean Girls always reminds me of, oh shit, the one with Rob Snyder. It's me, Jessica! That one. Every time I think of Mean Girls, I always think of that movie, too. I can't think of what the fuck the name is, though.
I don't remember. Hot Chicks?
Yes, Hot Chicks. I think Rachel McAdams is in there, too. She's Jessica. She's funny. I like Rachel McAdams. And Rob Snyder. And Anna Faris.
Nutmeg is a hallucinogen. The spice contains something, which is a natural compound that has mind-altering effects if ingested in large doses.
Stop trying to tell the people how to get high, Sam.
I'm not telling people how to get high. I'm just explaining what happens if you do, if you take a, if you use, eat, ingest, if you.
What are you saying? Are you having a stroke?
I am just trying to say that this is what happens when you ingest a lot of nutmeg, damn it. Also, nutmeg's gross.
Nutmeg is gross.
In, like, any quantity, really. It's rough. To the lady who makes a shit ton of pies.
I kept sniffing markers yesterday. And it was cracking them up.
I will end on... I actually did know this, but I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Okay.
The Easter Island heads have bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of these days, they're going to pop up out of the ground and run after people.
They just remind me of those little rock people from Frozen. I don't know why, but they're just, that's what it makes me think of. They don't look anything like them.
I was gonna say they don't. That's, they're like round.
Yeah, I know. And they're just rocks.
Round.
But that's what it makes me think of. But they said in the 2010s, archaeologists found that two of the Pacific Island figures actually had torsos measured as tall as 33 feet.
So how'd they get stuck in the ground? Are they in the water?
Ground.
They're in the ground.
Yeah.
How'd they get stuck in the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Aliens.
Maybe we need to do an episode on the theories of the Easter Island heads.
Maybe. What about the bobbleheads?
Bobbleheads? Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Yeah, we could talk about those, but Michelle and Courtney might not like that.
They love it.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. But yeah, that's what I got for you. With my ridiculousness. Ridiculousness?
Sure.
Dumbassery. I don't think my accents changed too much on this episode. Last episode was a little weird.
Yeah, you were like an announcer last
episode. Well, not only that, I kind of went all northern with the kids.
Yeah,
I did.
Oh, God.
It happens sometimes. It just slips in.
So she said.
So anyway, if you'd like to contact us to send us some ridiculous facts or stories or suggest some case. I'm still sort of having a stroke, apparently.
I guess.
I don't know. You can do so by contacting us on any of our social media, which would be Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
You can also contact us by Gmail at m32crimepod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Yes.
In a link tree, a link down below, we'll have the button for case suggestions, and you can, it's like open-ended, so you could do anything there as well.
Our Patreon is also on our link tree.
Yep. And our website, which has our affiliates.
Please rate and review us. We appreciate it. We love you.
We do.
Thank you so much for listening to our dumbasses for 40 episodes.
40 fucking episodes.
Yes. We love y'all. Thank y'all. Okay. Bye.